Good evening and welcome to the latest episode of the Playing with the Boys podcast. I am your host, Mark the Nomad. I'm making my triumphant return after a 2.5 week hiatus. Tonight I am joined by my good friend, the man who stared at his screen and cried a couple nights ago, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing super duper. I'm doing well. My work is slowed down, so I'm able to record this lovely podcast tonight. And now, next up on the list is our good buddy Mike in Ohio, who goes by the name Cleveland Wolverine at Clee Wolverine on Twitter. Mike, how are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to have you back.
Thank you. I appreciate that, the father of the podcast. And last but not least, we've got our buddy, another native Ohioan, but he spends his time in Florida, like me, wasting away in this sunburned, shit-stained hole. Wojo. How you doing, Wojo?
I'm doing fantastic, and you could not have described Florida better than that. I really can't say anything better.
I live in a town about 45 minutes south of Tampa, where it's like a really quiet neighborhood and very suburban, but then like occasionally Florida man will come out at night and I'll wake up in the morning and you get like little police alerts if things happened near your neighborhood. And I think for like the past 5 or 6 nights, it might be the same guy, but someone keeps getting tased and the police keep reporting on it, like, man tased on this street. And I'm like, oh, that was a stone's throw away from my house.
To give you an example of the last time I came down to your neck of the woods, we stopped somewhere to buy some native Florida products, meaning Tervis tumblers. And as we were driving away, we drove past a trailer park, and one of the trailers was on fire. And I just kind of went...
That's about as Florida as it gets. So, all of us had really, really, really shitty football weekends. Hello? Anybody there?
That's Florida. No, I'm not.
Can any of y'all hear me? You there, Aaron? Hello?
Yep.
I lost you.
There you go.
What about you, Woj?
I'm here.
Man, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
It's got to be my internet. All right.
Restarting up.
We won't have to do the introductions again. I'll just cut this chunk out. Okay. It's only about 3 minutes in. And I'm just going to jump in with what I said before everyone cut out, which... Uh-oh.
We're good.
Are you fleeing to elude?
Yeah.
All right. So now that we have all the introductions out of the way, we're just going to jump right in and talk about our shitty, shitty football weekend. And I don't know where we should start. I think we should save Michigan for second. I think we should work our way down the toilet bowl, and we'll start with the Ohio State Buckeyes, who completely... I'm probably going to debate on who had the worst loss, but Ohio State shits the bed inside the toilet bowl, the horseshoe, and loses to Virginia Tech, unranked Virginia Tech at home. So your thoughts on this game, gentlemen? What jumps out?
I don't want to talk about it.
We're talking about it.
I thought it was a very... It seemed like an unprepared team to me. I don't know how you let a team like Virginia Tech come in and want a game more than you in your own place, and they just looked like, for the most part of the game, they were willing to let Virginia Tech assert physical dominance. And when you let a team physically dominate you, 99 times out of 100, you lose. They shot themselves in the continually with 2 missed field goals. a drop down pass, and that soon after was one of his field goals. And they just got dominated up front by a far superior Virginia Tech defensive line and linebacking group that the offensive line just looked putrid, and that's pretty much it. It was extremely embarrassing. We can debate all you want on who had the worst loss, but they were both extremely embarrassing, and I'm not willing to stick up for Ohio State in this argument.
To watch that was just a kick in the nuts. I can't put it any other way. And we talked about it the other day when on the last podcast about this, that, I kind of expected that maybe Barrett would have problems, but I can't blame him for anything. I mean, I can blame him for being a redshirt sophomore. Can you blame him for anything else? I mean, how woefully unprepared were they? And I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. I said this was 4 out of 5 games where they just can't answer the bell, the coaching staff.
I think this is, for me, the idea that you can't blame JT Barrett. I mean, youth is youth. And there's going to be some growing pains. I think if Ohio State faces Virginia Tech, say, week 8, week 9, I think they're more adequately prepared to deal with what Virginia Tech was going to throw at them. I always think these early season games, especially when you play a non-conference opponent that you don't generally see a lot, you're going to run into problems because they test your scheme and they throw things at you that you're not used to seeing, that you've got no film on. And most teams in their first game of the year, they play a sacrifice, or in the Big Ten's case, usually it's a macrifice.
That was awesome.
What?
No, that was great.
A macrifice.
Stealing that.
Oh. Yeah, you macrifice a team and they take their paycheck and they go home.
Well, not so much anymore.
But. Well, yeah. We'll find out this weekend.
Oh, Big Ten's so good.
So, I do think that if that's a Braxton Miller-led Ohio State team, that there's a good chance that they could still lose that game because the issues that I saw weren't necessarily quarterback-based. It was quarterback takes the snap and there's 5 guys in his face. I think there was a run in the third and fourth quarter where Virginia Tech had 7 or 8 sacks. Like every time they dropped back, he had someone in his face and he was getting brought down. I don't care how big, good of an athlete you are. It's hard to deal with that.
What? Go ahead, Mike.
I agree with Mark on that part, but it doesn't give me much joy in saying this after getting drubbed 31-0, but Ohio State's pretty much what I thought they were going to be without Braxton. They don't have any – there's no go-to player. I mean, who's threatening on Ohio State's offense?
No, there's not.
There
absolutely isn't. And not to interrupt you, but Dontre Wilson has been an extreme at this point. He needs to be that type of guy who steps up, and he is not.
And that lack of preparation thing, to me, has to be pretty alarming for an Ohio State fan.
20
That's what you're seeing.
25 quarterback runs.
Because I didn't get to watch much of the game. I was an absolute mess from my own team's game and started drinking heavily in the third quarter. So I was just celebrating the loss of Ohio State just for the simple fact that I wouldn't have to take the berating of losing 31-0 on Twitter by Buckeyes Twitter.
It probably would have been bad.
Yeah.
The Michigan Notre Dame game, and I kind of felt this way with the Ohio State game too. I think college football, unlike any other sport, you deal constantly with momentum, and the game shifts and turns on momentum. And when Michigan stops Notre Dame on that first drive and then drives down the field and misses that field goal, a shift in momentum. Notre Dame scored. Michigan drives down the field again, misses another field goal, and then suddenly it's 14-0. They're pinning their ears back coming after Gardner. And we've all seen the Devin Gardner when he makes mistakes, his mistakes snowball. When he has a good game, he makes very little mistakes. But once he makes that first mistake, it's almost like you can guarantee that a lot more are coming. He, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I exactly hear what you're saying. He crumbles.
Yeah.
He's a talented kid, but he crumbles. And there's all the built-in excuses about coordinators and systems and things, and some of that's valid, but I mean, it comes down to just getting the job done at the end of the day. And he just has that, I got that deer in the headlights look as soon as he makes a mistake, and you know things are going to go downhill. And how the hell do you outgain your opponent and lose 31-0?
I don't know. Is someone popping like sticky pop, like wrapping paper? What the fuck is that noise?
I don't know.
Not
I have
for
a bottle of water in my hand.
That's what it is. We've decided
always Mike.
That you can't just sit still and talk.
No, I've had this problem since I've been like 3 years old. So.
Are you a chain smoker, Mike?
I don't smoke cigarettes.
That's just, you know, constantly having to keep your hands busy. That's why I ask.
You just take your hands, sit on them, and rock back and forth. That's all right. I can say.
Okay, Dad. Which is the new move for all Ohio State and Michigan fans during games. It's
pretty
just,
much.
Yeah, stay away from the keyboard and rock back and forth in a fetal position.
I found out the best way to watch a football game on Saturday, and that is to stay as far the fuck away from Twitter as humanly possible. I had an amazing game. The Notre Dame game was not bad for me. I sat down. It was myself, my wife, my kids were in bed, and we had two friends over who were pretty obnoxious Notre Dame fans, and it didn't bother me like I get bothered when I read tweets. Like it was just like, oh, whatever, you know, you guys should be happy, you're kicking our ass. But the minute I started reading things on Twitter the next day, I got furious, and yeah, that's all she wrote. So I think I'm gonna try to take that whole no Twitter approach during games this year.
See, that's why I love going to the game, because then I can't look at Twitter, because it's just there's too many
service.
People using their cell phones, and it is much more enjoyable. But yes.
I can handle Michigan fans better than I can handle our own fan base during Twitter or during games, even winning or losing.
You guys can scoreboard us.
But still, just to hear, and I just like you, I really didn't get a chance to look. There was occasional times where I got to peek in there, but the Ohio State fan base is winning or losing is horrible during games on Twitter. And I can handle the occasional troll. That's fine. But, you know,
it's entitlement.
But what do we have to be entitled for?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I ask. It's my whole question.
We are right now so far below what the majority of Ohio State fans actually think of this team, and no one gets it. We are just to see how horribly game planned they were for this, to not expect that Frank Beamer is just going to line up nine guys in the box every time and just come at him, and they weren't ready for it. That's what hurts more. It'd be one thing if
that would be concerns about that family contract if I were you.
Well, I said that and I got hammered about it. Someone said that to me, that like, what do you think it is? And I go, I guarantee he's not working hard enough. And all of a sudden it just, you know, slings, you know, rocks and arrows at my head. But he can recruit. And I know not everybody listens to 92.3 in Cleveland. But they made the point that his press conference, Urban's press conference, was terrible. His answers to the questions were terrible.
I heard that.
The next day, instead of sitting down with his coordinators and saying what the hell happened, he's worrying about it's great, great. You'll have 25 stars next year. Wonderful. And the first time someone lines up with nine guys in the box, you're going to wet the bed.
It's the same old thing, though. I mean, you guys have an insane offensive line, insane defensive line, and a shit offensive line. And when it comes down to it, generally, a more prepared offense is going to beat a more prepared defense, in my opinion, I think. That's just my opinion. I mean, there are some instances where, like Michigan, they just couldn't beat Michigan State last year because they had no plan for that defense, despite having a bye week to prepare for it. But, you know, Virginia Tech, they converted like 9 of 12 third downs. They had a plan, and they executed that plan to keep drives off and say, well, we're going to keep Ohio State's offense off the field, try to score points, and then if we get a lead, we're going to pin our ears back and get after that young quarterback. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I think it's fair to question the coordinators right now, because if Urban is honoring this family contract where whatever, he's not working as many hours, so you're relying a lot more on coordinators, and those guys obviously aren't wrong. We've had some great coordinators in the past.
We've got a coach that relies all on coordinators.
But I mean, you talk about, look at the guys that Urban Meyer's had. I mean, Charlie Strong and.
Yeah.
Now, you know, a guy like that, but he had a very strong presence. And now I don't think Tom Herman's that guy. I don't. Luke Fickell's certainly not that guy. Chris Ash is probably not that guy. Mark Pantone's probably, you know, all these coordinators that you see all over Twitter, you know, being their newest 4- or 5-star recruit, just aren't those strong forces that can kind of rally the team when apparently Urban is sitting at home watching Frozen with his kids.
Just let it go, man. Just let it go.
I'm just saying, man. Can we just, like, let's talk about the NFL. And Mark, you don't get to talk about the Browns or the Lions because they kicked the shit out of the Giants.
It was glorious.
But I was, for whatever reason, so when I went into this season, I expected Ohio State to be pretty good, and I expected the Browns to be awful and lose a lot of games by a lot of points. But when Ohio State lost, even though I expected them to win, I really was not nearly as upset as I've been in the past. And when the Browns came back and tied that game at 27 and then lost on a last-second field goal, in the back of my head, knowing that it was going to happen the entire time,
yeah,
I was so upset. And I can't explain it, and I did it last year during the opener, and it was the only game I really was upset about. But I knew the whole time they were not winning that football game, yet I was still pissed, and it bothered me for literally about 6 hours after the game. And someone be therapeutic to me and explain to me what my issue is.
Your issue is that you're not well conditioned to that this thing's always happened to Cleveland.
Right. I do understand that, though, but as soon as it actually did happen, I couldn't handle it, and I don't know why.
I was emotionless because as soon as Big Ben got that ball back with a minute 30, I knew the game was over. And I just knew that there was something that was going to happen that was going – you knew he's going to come through. We've seen it so many times. He comes and just – he either crushes us
18
by like 30 points or he just pulls something out of his ass and beats us at the last second. It's just –
I think it's harder to lose to your rival like that. Like, the same way that you guys feel about losing to the Steelers is how Lions fans feel when we just get our, you know, when the Green Bay Packers slap us with their dick. It's like there's nothing we can do about it. We know it's coming. I mean, I think the Lions jumped out to like a 21-0 lead in the snow a couple years ago, and then Stafford threw a ball behind his head for a fumble, and it's actually my profile pic on Twitter. It's the most beautifully perfect captioned shot of Matt Stafford fumbling the ball in Green Bay.
God, he looked good on Monday.
Yeah, in the dome.
Yeah, he looked awesome. He's on my fantasy team, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, you're probably stroking it.
He looked great. I was stroking
the hog.
Aaron, your best way to deal with it is how I deal with it, which is do the white person thing, which is go to brunch at, like we did at about 10:30,
really?
and be about six Bloody Marys deep about the time that whatever the Browns are playing kickoff. And then we kind of sat there and waited, and all of a sudden the Browns were down 14-0. I'm like, well, screw it. Why are we going home? Let's just keep drinking.
Well, we're all white.
Yeah, I drank the entire.
I know, joke. I left my house about 20 minutes after the game was over, and 7 1/4 miles later, I was home. So I channeled my anger, and I felt like I needed a detoxification. So I started running, and I just kept running. And I'm not Forrest Gump, so I can go, like, you know, 300, 400, 500 miles. But until I literally was to the point of exhaustion, I just kept going to detoxify myself of watching the Browns again lose. I normally, just for example, I normally run 3 to 4 miles. On a really, really good day, I run 5. I just ran 7 and a quarter.
I drank with local alcoholic sports personality Chuck Galletti.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't fucking go to brunch.
What's wrong? I've never really done a brunch. I like food, so I'd probably like brunch, but...
I mean, Bloody Marys, mimosas, eggs, bunch of white people in the same area. That's pretty much what brunch is. And in Tampa, there's some decent options, and there's usually involved where...
I want to ask black people if they do brunch. I want to put it on Twitter, but I'm afraid.
Do it.
I'll put it right now. Just do right. To my black followers.
No. You got to do hashtag black Twitter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That'll get the word out. Give me the
word to type. What do I say?
Why don't black folks do brunch? I mean, I don't know.
Do black folks do brunch? I don't know.
Do black people... enjoy brunch.
No, if you really want it to not sound racist, you have to say, I'm not trying to sound racist, but, and then ask the question.
No, that makes it even sound more racist.
No, it's just like the foolproof way to not sound racist.
I just tried to hashtag black Twitter, and my phone, swear to God, auto-corrected it to Bay Twitter.
Oh.
Ooh. Bay Carruth. Let's ask Bay Carruth.
He'd have a great answer for us.
He would. I love him.
I was really looking forward to it. I really was.
Well,
I tried.
I just don't think it's going to work out like that. You know, like immovable. What is the immovable object and what?
A unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Right.
Oh, no. I tweeted the picture. It's the Family Guy. It's the chicken versus Peter Griffin.
Chicken gave me a bad coupon.
I miss Boney. I got to be honest.
Well, we all came together in a moment of solidarity to support our bro Supreme when you had some terrible shit happen to you this week. Are there any updates on that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear about that.
Well,
tell the listeners, Aaron.
Well, so Sunday night, for anyone who doesn't know, I would say sometime between about 10 p.m. Sunday and 7 in the morning when I went to get in my car on Monday morning, someone decided to bash my passenger side window. I always keep shit in my car. I don't anymore. I just got my window fixed today. But I had a little over $900 in cash. It was not visible. It was hidden, but... Nonetheless, it was my rent and van payment that I was going to take to work with me the next day to pay my landlord and drop the money off at the bank. But that never happened. And my iPad that happened to be sitting under there was also taken. So far, there are no updates. I live in a very small town, and there are a lot of people that know a lot of people and know me. And I was given some ideas of who it might be, and I relayed that information to law enforcement. And I did a little investigating of my own, drove to where I thought they were, found their phone number, et cetera. But I did not have any luck. But I'm still finding none. I don't think I'm ever going to get the money back or my iPad, which I'm ultimately not concerned, but I would prefer to not have you know, anybody else have to go through what I did. I know it has actually already happened to a few other people in the town where I live. So I'm trying. We have a fair this week, so there are hundreds of cars parked on the streets where they normally wouldn't be, and I'm just hoping and praying that no one else is subject to having their car window bashed in when they only have liability insurance and having to pay $300 to get that replaced.
Jeez.
On top of everything else, but I do know.
You know, I went through that a while back, right?
I do not. Yeah, but it doesn't. Our house got broken into during the middle of the day, and we lost a lot. Three flat screen TVs, a MacBook, a MacBook Pro, a regular Mac, anything electronic of value in this house was gone. And it happened in the middle of the day, and I literally left the house for 90 minutes. So when I saw that happen, I could only just sympathize, like, ugh. It's just the worst feeling. And yes, it was just your car, but then a perfect example.
You feel extremely violated, right?
Yeah, we have this great desk upstairs. It's a glass top desk. And for 2 weeks after that, every time I saw fingerprints on it, I was like, motherfuckers were in my house. And I'm sorry, I just dropped an MFR on there, but that's my, that's how I felt about it. So have I can only imagine. What's that?
Have you heard me talk?
Have you ever heard the podcast?
I know. But I know. I told you, I don't want to go to the next level of explicit. But I can only imagine that every time you see, and I've had my window broken out before, you find that one piece of glass that you missed.
Yep.
And you're just like, God damn it, this sucks.
I mean, there was a point on, what was it, Tuesday? I just was going for my little jog after work, and I literally just stopped in the middle of it because I started thinking about it, and I was absolutely furious. And just middle of a little run, and just, yeah, I mean, it's something I never in my life been as upset and angry and sad, pissed, and all those emotions build into one. I'm sure you were.
You feel helpless.
I mean, I woke up, I went outside to get my car, and it just was like shock of seeing, like, I didn't know what the hell happened. Like, it took me 2-3 minute process. I mean, literally, it took me, like, why is my window busted in? You know, like, why is my shit gone? What the fuck happened? And please turn that off. I was so furious. I had to literally stop myself. I almost busted my own anger and punching it, but I did not. I refrained, but
that just makes things worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was just, I cried. I was absolutely furious. It was, and I mean, I still am. I would love for those fuckers to get caught. I can't imagine invading someone's private property like that. I couldn't steal a dollar from someone. I feel guilty as hell about it. So I can't imagine being the little punk who goes around and decides to help himself to what he has not earned. I know. Go ahead,
Mike. Did your car alarm go off?
I don't have a car alarm.
You don't?
I have a pawn shop in town, is the better question.
There are pawn shops in Mansfield, not where I live. Oh. See, this is the thing. On the iPad, I have the Find My iPad app. Problem is, I have a password to lock screen on my iPad that you couldn't guess in 5 million tries. Like, it's just an absurd password. And multiple letters, uppercase, lowercase, numbers, all, just things no one would ever figure out. And it's not connected to anything. I've checked to Find My iPad. It's just not connected, so.
Yeah, the only problem with that is, like, I mean, I work with these devices all day. I probably mess around. I just gave out 800 iPads to a bunch of people, and if you, it probably would take me 5 minutes to bypass the security of your device if I had even just like rudimentary knowledge of the iPad, and that's it's like a big problem.
I will say I believe you, but these kids who I suspect, I'm about 80% sure I have a very, very good idea of who did it. They can't spell three-letter words correctly. I know this from their Facebook pages that I found.
Oh, wow.
Their grammar is very, very poor. So I'm just guessing they're probably...
Sounds like kids from Fostoria.
What the? Yeah, they're not very
interesting. Fostoria reference, very nice.
I got screwed over at Fostoria.
I go to work for Fostoria sometimes. Or.
Yeah. I think I told that story on here about how we got the 2005 tickets stolen from us.
Oh, yeah, the ticket story.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, okay, well, hot sports take, ready? Oil up. Today, let's talk about it. Why not? We might as well. We might as well get into it.
Do it.
Opinions?
On Rod?
On
Raj. Yeah, on Raj. Nice. I like that.
I think the best point that was made about, at least in my opinion, the best point that was made about the situation is that Roger Goodell suspended Sean Payton for an entire season because he should have known about the bounties and didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't, Sean Payton had no, technically had no direct knowledge that there was a bounty system going on with his team, and he was still suspended for an entire year because, based on the premise that he should have known this was going on. Well, Goodell should have been able to see this tape, so at the very least, he should be suspended from his job for not living up to his end of the bargain. He doles out suspensions and fines, and now the table's been turned on him. He doesn't want to hear anything about it.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. It's absurd, and old Raj, who's not going to lose his job over this, contrary to the popular Twitter belief, but he is an extreme hypocrite, as the NFL tends to be in a lot of situations. But ultimately, on Sunday, we're all going to be sitting around watching the NFL, and it's probably not going to affect their bottom line at all. So it's probably a situation that we'll all have forgotten about sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
Yeah. Anyone else got a hot take on that?
I mean, it's just what our era is now with Twitter and everything. And obviously I was upset about it. And I don't know. I just think people always just think that they're, you know, I have to have my voice heard about this and I'm going to be super angry about it. And then in 2 weeks, we'll just completely forget about all of this ever happening.
Yeah,
I mean, it'll be in the back of our minds, but it's not going to be something that's going to, you know, make anyone, unless you're really extreme, boycott the NFL. I mean, I'm going to be watching that someday.
Yeah, I couldn't even come up with 140 characters. Couldn't even indicate that to it.
I mean, it's just, it is a shame, and it's, you know, next month is Breast Cancer Month, and they'll trot out all the players in pink and be selling all the pink gear and everything and making it seem like they genuinely.
Hello?
I'm here.
I lost Mike.
Damn.
Wojo?
I'm here.
Hey, I got some answers on Black if you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just a couple. So this girl, I think, let me double check that. Make sure that's the girl. Yeah. Yeah. just, I wasn't 100% sure. didn't want to offend anybody. So I put it out there. Do black people enjoy brunch? # black Twitter. And Asia responded, yes, yes, we do. And, then I asked her to retweet that, but I've only gotten one other response, and it says, why we gotta be black people, LOL. And yes, I love brunch. Why is this a shocking question? Okay. So,
I've never heard of black people eating brunch before.
Yeah. A very small sample size, but apparently my two black followers do indeed.
I guess it's
just... Ask them!
I go to brunch in the whitest part of Tampa, so I get that.
Hyde Park.
Ask our follower Dawn if she likes brunch.
I will ask her and Mr. Goz right now.
That's the problem, is that there probably is a lot of brunch places in Hyde Park, but you probably can't find one brunch place in Gibsonton.
Oh.
Should I hashtag this question with Ask Black People?
You should, man. That's fine. Let's just go all in.
I think those two, I think, would laugh about it.
Yeah, they probably will.
Never seen an Asian there either, so
Yeah, no other races seem like they're into the brunch thing.
I mean, we could do some more racial stereotypes.
You do realize that next time we go to brunch, I'm just going to be looking around for other ethnicities.
Take it to the next level and be like, hey, look, I'm doing research for my podcast. Would you mind if I take your picture if you see a black person there?
I just tweeted, like,
can you hold
Asian
your fork and knife?
Do you Asian
smile
people
with your
like
waffles,
brunch?
Please?
Hashtag ask Asians.
Someone needs to ask, is an Asian a sandwich?
Do you like brunch? Ask black people.
And the problem is I'll get four or five Bloody Marys deep and then I will do that and my fiance will hate me for it. I'm just like, I need to go over there and ask them to take a picture, just like see if they're enjoying their brunch, and she'll just be like, I need to leave now.
Nice. This is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Do Asian people like brunch? Hashtag.
I'm not sure I have a single Asian follower.
I don't know if I do.
I retweeted. I know I have at least one. Because I know her personally. So, but I don't know if she's going to see that.
I might have a couple.
I don't really. I'm not aware if I have any Asian followers.
I might. A few Hispanic.
Hispanic followers. So.
No, most of it's just a bunch of boring white people.
Yeah, I think we should definitely talk about racial stereotypes on our show. We're four white guys. Who else is more educated on race?
Well, we just need to have Jeremy and Akron on, and we'll be all set.
I listen to another podcast called
The Sports Gym.
Is he Asian?
Yeah.
He's got a Asian in him. He just said yes.
Half Irish, half Japanese, the Sports
Whoa.
Gym.
Wow. Okay.
That might be the strangest ethnicity. No offense, Jim, but like I've never heard of that before.
You are so strange. No offense.
You learn something new every day, and apparently the sports
gym. It's like
gym
weird dog breeds when you go looking for a dog.
Chimed in. She says, "When I asked if do Asian people like brunch, hashtag ask Asians," she said, "That's like asking if white people brush their teeth." So apparently. I don't know. Maybe she's saying white people don't brush their teeth. But
do we brush our teeth?
I do.
I brush my teeth. I'm pretty fanatical about it, actually.
I don't know if that's a common white person thing. I think it is, probably.
I don't know.
I think that's a common human being thing for the most part.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, there's quite a section that doesn't.
Well, I'm gonna take a gander that majority of the population of the world probably doesn't brush their teeth.
But I would say, Mike,
I'm going to take a gander that the majority of population of Florida doesn't brush their teeth.
I think Florida gets a bad rap.
I don't know about that.
I think we're actually kind of normal in the long run.
Maybe.
Normal as far as what?
I mean, I could make comparisons and find. I think a lot of weird shit happens here, and it's heavily publicized. But I know for a fact that if I go to any major city generally in any major U.S. state and drive 25 minutes into the country of that state, it's fucking deliverance there, too.
Let's
Aaron
talk about
is a perfect example.
Who, me?
I mean,
yeah. You know rural Ohio. I even said to you a couple days ago, man, your town's like the fucking Wild Wild West. And you were like, yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah,
your state has Goonliano in it.
Yeah, but he should be deported.
Yeah, he should.
You missed that
he was talking about buying the below average baseball scout Apple Teenies when he came to Florida, and I really struggled not to make a homo joke.
I saw it on Facebook. I just saw
so it. Listen, guys. I want to talk about our favorite stereotypes. Is that a thing? Do people have favorite stereotypes?
I have a favorite stereotype.
What's your favorite?
I follow the Bill Burr philosophy about Asian people and their ability to drive. Like there's two kinds of Asian people drivers. There's no in the middle. There's no middle driving skill. It's either fucking Tokyo Drift or it's like stop in the middle of an intersection while it's green and turn your car off and walk away. Like, they're either, like,
we need Sports Jim to answer to this.
Yeah, I don't know what which.
I've driven in a car with Sports Jim. He was the driver.
Was it safe?
Was he a good driver?
Was it but unreasonably safe?
I was incoherently drunk, and...
Man, I feel bad, because it sounds like the Sports Jim is, like, everyone's taxi. Like, when I met Jim at the Ohio State game, he was there just because he drove the Australian and his weird Australian friend to the game. And I was like, you don't have a ticket? What are you doing here?
He just drove.
I thought he might be Prince Jarvie's chariot.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I think I may have taken Sports Jim's ticket to the Ohio State game unintentionally.
So, Nick answered my question, the Australian, about do Asian people like brunch, and he said he doesn't think so. So I asked him, do Australians
like brunch?
Ask Aussies. He has not responded, but my buddy Jeff Mooring, who is on Twitter, says my girlfriend who is Asian says no. So
deport goon.
is Asian girlfriend Asian? We have one Asian that does like brunch, one that doesn't.
Well, I'm the only one who actually answered the stereotype question yet.
My favorite. So when I did a class, I was a freshman in high school, and it was mostly with juniors and seniors. But it was called Diversity of Culture, something in America, blah, yada, 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 I don't know. But we had different groups where we had to, we were all separated into our groups, and we were all a different nationality. So I had Italians. And part of our presentation.
Italian.
Italians?
Sorry.
Italian.
These Italians. Fucking wops.
Not Italian. Italian.
I apologize. So. I have Italian, and part of it was food, you know, so we just, whatever. I don't remember what we had. But one of them was African-American, and they literally ordered KFC and brought in watermelon and Kool-Aid. And all that. But I've always just really enjoyed that stereotype. First off, I don't know that it's offensive to tell somebody like fried chicken, because fried chicken's really, really good.
I love fried chicken.
I've never really... Like,
white people like fried chicken.
I love fried chicken. And my grandpa, who is extremely old, hillbilly, and southern, likes... And not southern, he's from southern Ohio, right? Not like Alabama.
Which might as well be southern.
Yeah, no way. He's from Jackson, Ohio, but... You know, he loves fried chicken, so I don't know if it's my favorite, but I certainly enjoy it. And just a quick side note, one day I was working in lovely Mansfield, Ohio, which is not that lovely, but I had to park on a side street, and I was walking over, and pertaining to that stereotype, there were four large black men standing on the corner of the street I was walking down to go to the house I had to stop at, and they were eating fried chicken out of a styrofoam bucket, and they were very sweet and offered me some fried chicken. I did decline, but I thought that was probably the most stereotypical thing I've ever encountered.
Oh, I think it would be better if we could find a race that doesn't like fried chicken and just fucking trash them for it. Because I can't find a race that's like, man, fuck fried chicken.
I mean, the stereotype, I mean, it's there. But anytime, like, you're driving through an area that might be heavily inhabited by black people, you always see KFC and Popeyes and all the fried chicken chains. Amongst, like, you know,
well,
you're just like perpetuating Revel, like, the cycle,
like Revel That's... Wireless and things, and you know, I've always thought that stereotypes don't come out of nowhere. There's a reason why they exist.
I don't have an answer for that.
Well,
I know that most people are stereotyping white people right now because I have an alarm on my phone set for 2:45 a.m. so I can pre-order the iPhone 6 on Friday morning.
Yeah, that's – holy shit.
That's like the most white tweet white thing I'll ever say.
That is very white.
Mark, you and I live in Florida, so we have a different angle on this, but I have gotten hammered for this on Twitter, but then I've also – gotten people that have said you're totally right, which is the whole we don't do – we talked about – you and I talked about this, about we don't do our own lawns. Well, you do your own lawn.
I do my own lawn.
But no one else does because there's
– I cut my own lawn.
There's folks from, you know, Latin American countries to do lawns down here. So I guess if that's a racial stereotype – call me guilty on that one, because I don't think for as long as I plan on staying in Florida, I don't think I could cut my own grass. So
I don't think I can let someone else cut my own grass. I can't let that happen. Like
it's a pride thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like I don't know. I associate it with having pride for the house and. You know, the guy across the street, myself and the guy that just bought the house across the street, we live in somewhat like a historic neighborhood, and it's, you know, the guy that just bought the house across the street is, we're the two youngest families on the block, and he mows his own lawn, and then when he gets out there and does it, I'm like, okay, fuck you, bro, I'll do it too.
Yeah, you got a little competition going on.
You're not the only man on this block. And the rest of the people in my neighborhood are all like in their late 60s, early 70s, and they have someone do it for them. But while I'm young and virile and still have a TPC, I'm gonna get out there and mow my own yard.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't. I just depend on the yards of others.
I can't. What part of Tampa do you live in? If you don't mind me asking.
We are in Seminole Heights.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, you must be in like one of the nice houses, but you could throw a rock over your roof and probably hit a drug dealer in the face.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That describes my neighborhood to a T. It'd be like, and I'll do the Cleveland. It's like living in Ohio City, Mike. Where it's,
oh yeah.
There is major Ohio pockets cities. Of gentrification going on in my neighborhood, but there's also major pockets of just. Yeesh.
Like, you've got, like, Ohio City's, like, lawyer, accountant, like, 20 Hispanic people living in a house next door.
Yeah. Oh, no. There is. And I know across the street from where we live, there is a house that I looked at that went up for sale. And I was like, oh, this could be great. Rental property, yada, yada, yada.
Don't do that.
And when the person bought it. It's like 1,400 square feet, and when they listed it, it suddenly had five bedrooms.
Oh, shit.
And I went, oh God, what did you do to that house? How big? And I knew, like, okay, yeah, all right, that makes total sense. But yeah, that's my neighborhood to a T, and we're homesteading in the land of gentrification, which is okay because, you know.
So if you listen to this and you are from Florida and you're aware of like the weird little parts of Florida, I used to own a house in Pasco County, which the only way I can describe it is like imagine if you took a bunch of low to somewhat middle class families and then just did chemtrails of methamphetamines over their house. That's Pasco County. And we had this really nice house, and then we bought it like 2 weeks before the bubble popped. So we overpaid for it by about $75,000. And then within like 2 weeks, the entire neighborhood was a ghost town because everyone just packed up their shit and left. And we had like eight people on a block of 30 houses left. And it was like Escape from New York. It was bizarre. And, you had a bunch of people move into the neighborhood and move into the different houses and rent them out and then trash them and steal the copper from the walls. And eventually we were like, whatever we have to do to get the fuck out of this house, we have to do it now. Like, it took us moving to Boston to get out of that house. We're like, we're leaving the state. We're getting this far away from this fucking house.
I'm officially not allowed to go back to Pasco County because a Pasco County sheriff's officer called me boy once.
Ooh,
and nice. I may have gotten a little mouthy with him, which turned into a 90-minute long ordeal that ended up with me in the back of a cop car. And then he let me go. But I'm pretty sure that if I end up, they're going to run my plates and go, no, take that jackass to jail.
Yeah, so. That's like in the heat of the night out there. You don't do that.
And it was. I was coming back. There was a really nice golf course up there, and it was the same thing. I was coming back, and it was late. And I had had a beer or two, but I wasn't drunk. And it was like, so what are you doing, boy? And I just went, really? Really? You called me boy? And it snowballed from there. But, you know, because I can be a jerk. So, but I understand that.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're at 51 minutes, so we have to get to our sports reports and then bum out. I just want to say before I say my sports report that one thing I wanted to get to tonight that I didn't talk about is that right in the middle of Vancouver, next to a train station, a giant life-size statue of a devil with a huge boner appeared, and nobody knows where it came from and why it's there.
And it's
no
awesome.
No one will explain it. It's just like a giant 8-foot-tall statue of a red demon with a giant red boner popped up next to a train station in Vancouver. And that's kind of like my wheelhouse, because every time I say the word boner, I laugh. And Segway selfies, those are the two things that make me laugh really hard.
Geez. I quit.
So I just wanted to mention that. I want to send a quick message to Brady Hoke tonight for my sports report. I don't mean to throw some salt on the old wounds here, Mike, but when you get up on the podium after you take a beating and you don't say anything less than "we fucking suck tonight," and you try to feed us the same old bullshit about how you know, the Michigan men are preparing and behind closed doors, this team's got great leadership and we were really prepared and excuse this and excuse that, and you have a fifth year quarterback who probably should have made more plays despite being under the second game of an offensive coordinator. There are I would venture to say that despite being sacked 9,000 times, that JT Barrett had a better game than our fifth year quarterback, and that's saying a lot, because when that kid is on, he is on, and when he's not, look out. And that's got to change. I don't know if, you know, Brady Hoke talks a lot about leadership and how he expects certain amounts of leadership. But I don't want to get super cheesy and talk, you know, quote the great football film, Remember the Titans. But attitude reflects leadership, and that's the attitude that their coach has, that there's this cavalier attitude that people are just going to bend because they see the winged helmet, and it's just, it hasn't been that way for about 8 years. So you got to figure something else out. And until you've got that dope piece of shit, worst pizza in America, dumbass CEO running that team into the ground and using it as his own personal paycheck, I don't feel like it's going to get better. Unless Dave Brandon flies the private jet out to San Francisco and says, "Oh, excuse me, Mr. Harbaugh, I seem to have dropped my checkbook. You just fill that out for whatever you think you need. I'll see you back in Ann Arbor." That's the only way things are going to change.
I suggested he becomes the NFL commissioner.
He'd fit right in.
He would. Who's next here?
I don't know.
Mike.
Me?
No, it should go Michigan, Ohio State, all right. Michigan. Ohio
all right,
State.
I'll jump out here. And this is the other side of that fateful Big Ten coin. To see what we saw the last 4 out of 5 games is just depressing. It's ruined it, because as an Ohio State fan and as an Ohio State Twitter person that has tons of Michigan followers, Urban Meyer, you ruined my golden day of at least having one day where I could maybe throw little jabs at all my Michigan friends. Not mean-spirited, just, ha-ha, you got spanked by Notre Dame, even if I hate Notre Dame. And just to see what they are doing, and there's Mickey Mariotti pictures about how this guy came in and he's all of a sudden got six-pack abs. Well, I'd rather have a little bit of a beer gut and be able to block somebody or to scheme somebody. And it's just, it's thoroughly depressing, because you took one golden moment that we could have had as Ohio State fans to kind of go, ha ha, you lost, and ruined it.
excuse
had
me.
A lot of those golden moments.
Yeah, the 8 of the 9 last years, those were golden
hey,
moments
shut up.
For
you,
boss.
Part of shit. Shut up. So anyway, I'll go to me now. I am done being mean to other teams' fans because I was in a hurt state this weekend. More so, oddly, like I said, from the Browns rather than the Buckeyes. but I don't like feeling that way. And if anybody would have given me shit, there was a solid chance I would have, like, if Michigan would have, you know, won, which obviously didn't happen, but if they would have and Mike would have started giving me shit, I would have probably driven to his house, slashed his tires, and took a shit on his front doorstep because I was so upset. So I'm just done, man. I'm done. I can't be mean to other people unless they're just, you know, there's a few exceptions like Gugliano, but other than him, well, yeah, that dude's a turd bag. If there's any solace in Ohio State losing for me, it's that C-Bus Jeff won't make a Photoshop for a week. but, you know, I can't do it anymore. I'm hurt. The Browns continue to hurt me. And I'm like, you know, we talk about domestic violence, and this is a horrible comparison. But I feel like, I'm very... I am, because I feel like I'm physically abused by the Browns, and I just keep coming back. I feel like I feel battered, and I'm of one of three Americans that are beaten down by the Browns 16 times a year, and I need to just step away. Yes, all women.
Lions will take you with open arms.
I'm in.
Okay. Well, I am not done being mean to fans of other teams. That'll never happen. But, I mean, just to go expand upon what Mark was saying about Brady Hoke and our whole dumpster fire of a football program at Michigan is, you know, when Brady Hoke gets up there and starts talking and, and doing all those things, it just makes my blood boil. I'm so sick of hearing excuses and just this emotionless script that he has about, well, we have to coach them up better. I believe in these players. And, you know, he shouldn't throw the players under the bus, but show some fucking emotion, for Christ's sake. Show some, we're going to get this fixed. We're going to do this better. And, you know, don't just give these monotone, you know, answers all the time. And, you know, just show some kind of emotion and maybe seem more involved on the sidelines. I know we're never going to get you wearing a headset, but, you know, you just seemed like Fred Flintstone lookalike buffoon on the sidelines that has no idea what's going on. And I don't know. I just think that Michigan football is too big for Brady Hoke, and this is the last season we're going to see of him.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight in the Playing with the Boys podcast. Again, I am your host, Mark the Nomad, broadcasting live from the Pork My Dumpling Studios. I was joined by our good buddy Aaron, who would say bye for himself, but for some reason dropped off at the end. You made it back. Hey,
yay.
Say bye to everybody.
Bye, everybody.
And then there's our good buddy Mike, who's going to still be mean to other teams, despite our teams basically hot felching every night.
Mike's a dick.
Mike's kind of a dick, but it's okay. And then we got our boy Wojo, who's going to enjoy his brunch this weekend. Who do you all have this weekend, you Buckeyes?
Kent State.
The Golden Flashes.
Golden Flashes. We're hoping for a non-Toledo-like resolve.
That's a sacrifice, right?
Aussies don't mind brunch.
there we go. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, but do Aussies like butt sex?
Oh, God. And on that note,
miss you, Boney.
I miss you too, Boney.
Boney.
I'm probably going to try to record something with Boney this week. We're going to do Grown and Sexy number one. I think, I don't know if I'm grown or sexy. I'm not sure which one I'll be doing, but we're gonna try to do it. So we're going to make some podcast love. We'll see you all next week, and thank you for listening, all 12 of you. We appreciate it, and we're going to answer those pressing questions next week, like, do Filipinos enjoy fried chicken? Good night.
Good night.
Good night.